Glory to God. That is so good. Amen. How are we overcomers?
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We need to hear testimonies and praise reports. Amen. Y'all have heard mine the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to give it to you again. If you want to hear about it, go back on the website and pick it up. But praise God. Praise God that we build that ark in our heart, the word of God in our heart. We put it into our heart so that when we need it, it's there and it comes out. Amen. Well, we know from... help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. We know that we are in the birth pangs of the last days. What you see on TV, what you hear about, what you read about, things that have been prophesied, we are in the birth pangs of the last days. How many believe that, first of all? Do you believe that we are in the birth pangs? And what do I mean by birth pangs? You know, if you're pregnant, I've never been pregnant. I've talked to some pregnant women. I have married to a woman who's been pregnant 3 times. But when you feel those birth pangs coming, you know that a child is on the way.
Yes.
Right? That tells you something is going on in your body and you are getting ready to deliver a child. The same is in the earth today. We are feeling the pains of childbirth. And what is that childbirth? That is the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
So what am I saying? I'm saying get ready. Get ready. Now, you know, we know the word says we don't know the time, the day, the hour, but we know the signs and we are to be ready, watchful, alert. Amen?
Amen.
All these people that are predicting times and days, you know, I don't get caught up in that. I don't. I really don't. I mean, they may be right. They may not. Don't get caught up in these. Let me ask you this. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to tell you, and it was true, that Jesus was coming back January 1st, 2018, what would you do? Just ponder that for a minute. Just think about that. If it was going to happen, if he was returning January 1st, 2018, what would you do right now? Think about that. And then let me tell you this. Why aren't you doing it anyways? Why aren't you? I'm talking to myself too. Why aren't you? Don't get caught up in the day, the time, the hour. Know the season that we are in. And do it as if he was coming back tomorrow. Amen? That was a freebie. What I wanted to talk to you about today is restoration. I am a living testimony of restoration in my body, in my life. And we have a saying or a battle cry. What is our battle cry? Let restoration be your battle cry. Restore, restore, restore. Amen? But what does that mean? It's great to have a battle cry. But what does it mean? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Restoration. What does that mean to us today, now, at Christian Growth Center, in the season that we are in? Well, first, let me give you a definition of it. This is out of the dictionary. It says, restoration, an act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or condition. That's the world's definition of what restoration is. The world says, restore it back to a former position or condition. But let me give you God's definition of what restoration is. We find a little peek of this in Exodus. If you have your Bibles, this is going to be out of the King James. Exodus chapter 22. That's way in the front of the book. That's those pages that are probably stuck together. Exodus 22, verse 1. This is just a glimpse into God's definition of restoration. Exodus 22:1, King James says, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep." Five for one or four for one. And if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, go to Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verse 30. This is a very familiar scripture, should be to you. Proverbs 6:30 says, "Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But, verse 31, if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house to restore what has been stolen." And that's the verse we use when the thief has stolen from you, the enemy, you can say the enemy has stolen from you. He must restore sevenfold, seven times what was stolen. That is a picture of God's restoration. He's not just bringing it back to its former glory. He is adding to. He is making it more than enough. Amen? That's his picture of what restoration is. Not bringing you back to a previous condition, but getting back more than was lost or stolen. And that's just in the old covenant. But what does the new covenant say? We have a better covenant yet, built on better promises. So if under the old covenant, they were being restored five times, four times, seven times, can you imagine the restoration that is due us as born-again believers of God, child of God that you are? Better than before. Better than before. I use this example, and I think it will apply to some of y'all here. It has applied to Nikki and I in our marriage. And how many know that marriage is a covenant? You cut covenant before God with your spouse. Well, Pastor Rob gave me this example years and years ago, and I use it all the time. If I'm ever ministering to broken marriages, broken relationships, or in a conference. Oh, by the way, we're having an Art of Marriage conference in February. February, we're getting that date. We haven't finalized the date, but we want it to be in February. We're going to go back out to Spirit Wind, have an Art of Marriage conference, and it's not just for broken marriages. Right, Gene and Judy? It's for, marriages over the whole spectrum, wherever you are. Newlyweds, oldlyweds, in-between weds, it doesn't matter where you are. Broken, on the top of the mountain, it doesn't matter. It's something for everyone because it's encouraging. We're going to do that. That's just a plug for Art of Marriage coming up in February. Be on the lookout. But in marriage, when it is broken, when something is broken, it's just something is missing. You're not together. Pastor Rob gave me this example. He said, "You know, if you have a piece of broken metal, I don't know if you remember telling me this, but if you have a piece of broken metal and you weld that metal back together, do you know that that welded metal is stronger than the original condition of the metal?" And I've talked to metal workers, I've talked to welders, and they confirm that that is true. That when you weld those two pieces together, that weld is stronger than the original. That's God's picture. When He puts something back together, it is stronger, it is better than before. When He restores something, it is better than before. Amen? That's just a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus restoring us back to God, but better than before. Why? Because we are now, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are now joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs with Jesus. Amen? Joint heirs with Jesus, the Son of God, the one that is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We are joint heirs with Him. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians And let's see what, I'm trying to give you a picture. I want to give you a picture. I want to encourage you today about God's restoration in your life. Now, you apply this, you can apply this to yourself in your individual condition, whether you need healing, restoration of finances, restoration of relationship. But there's also a bigger picture going on here. And that's God restoring us to Himself. So if it applies to you, receive it for yourself. But I want you to see the big picture too, amen? And see your place in that big picture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not there yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 18, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, a picture of restoration, God's restoration. She said, "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself. He received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him." That's the bigger picture. Verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. And committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Verse 20. God making His appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. We're to be reconciled. We can say restored to God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you don't have to live in defeat. If you believe what that scripture just said, He's restoring you to divine favor with God. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in poverty. You don't have to live in sickness. You don't have to live in disease. You don't have to live in bitterness. You don't have to live oppressed.
Amen.
You don't have to live discouraged.
Amen.
You don't have to live in any of those things because He has given us the Christ,
yes.
Jesus,
yes.
The Messiah, the Anointed One and His anointing, yes. That destroys every yoke and removes every burden out of your life.
Amen.
You don't have to stay there. Amen?
Amen.
And then if you look at Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 20. Acts 3 verse 20 out of the Amplified says, "And that He may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all His holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man." God wants us, He wants to restore us back into right relationship with Him. He wants to restore that relationship with Him. He wants to restore that relationship that He had in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, where He walked in the cool of the day and talked with them. Amen? But not only does He want to restore it to that condition, He wants it to be better than before. Better than before, because like we said, we are joint heirs with Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. But if you think about the garden, let's just think back to the garden. You weren't there. You were there in Adam. You weren't there physically, at least I don't think. Some of you are close now. Think back to the garden. Was there sickness? Was there disease? Do you think Adam got angry at Eve? Do you think that he was oppressed by all the hard labor he was doing? Do you think Eve cried herself to sleep at night when she laid down on the ground beside Adam? There was no disease, no fear. No, did you hear me? No fear. No fear. You know, fear is probably one of the biggest causes of the issues that we deal with in our life. You know? Think about it. You get a sniffle, oh, you fear you're going to get pneumonia. Huh? Something's not feeling right in your back, oh, you've got some kind of kidney thing going on. Or, you know, the enemy will attack your mind with fear. And if you haven't built that ark in your heart, if you don't have the word inside of you to combat that fear that the enemy is bringing against your mind, are you hearing me? But think about the garden. So there was none of that, right? None of that in the garden. None of that in the garden. That is a picture of how we should be living.
Yes.
In heaven, you say, right? No. Right here in this earth. Now. Here on earth. How can I say that? Look at Matthew chapter 16. Again, encouraging you in the area of restoration. If that is our battle cry, if we are crying out for restoration, what does that look like? What is a picture of that? Matthew 16, verse 18, out of the Amplified, reads this way, "And I tell you, you are Peter, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, I will build my church." Somebody say, "I am the church."
I am the church.
"On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it." The enemy cannot overpower you. If you will let that rock, what is that? We're going to get in. Let me show you what that rock that Jesus was referring to. He's talking about the rock of revelation that Jesus is the Christ. The long-awaited Messiah that would set everything back in order and right again. That would restore all things. Amen? But let's back up a few verses to verse 13 to find out what is the revelation we're talking about. And when I'm talking about revelation, I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about you've received knowledge. It has dropped down into your heart and become revelation to you so that no one or no thing can steal that revelation from you. Amen? So when you get the revelation that you are restored completely, utterly unto God, nothing can take that away from you. When you get that picture. Chapter 16, verse 13. "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" Talking to his disciples, asking them who they say he is. "And they answered, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you yourselves say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood or men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" That is the revelation that Peter got, that Jesus said, "I will build my church on that revelation." That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one in his anointing, who came to restore all things back to God. That is God's restoration. That is a picture of God's restoration. And how is he doing this? This is our part now. Okay? By giving us the keys to the kingdom of heaven and instructing us how to operate in the earth as citizens of heaven. What do I mean by that? Well, we got to go to verse 19. In that same chapter says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. And then compare that to what we already read in 2 Corinthians 5:20. You don't have to turn there. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us, we, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you, for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled, or we can say restored. Reconciled means restored to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? What is an ambassador? What does that look like? Well, they live in another kingdom, but they operate under the principles of where they're from, right? When you have the U.S. ambassador to England, that U.S. ambassador operates under U.S. principles, right? If you're in a foreign country and you have trouble and you're a U.S. citizen, you can go to the ambassador and then you'll get help. Yes. Amen? Because of the principles that you operate under. So if we are citizens of heaven, and we are, if you look at Philippians, it tells you we are citizens of heaven, then we operate under the principles or ways of heaven in this foreign kingdom. Yes. What foreign kingdom? This world known as earth. You are citizens of heaven, ambassadors for Christ. You represent him in this earth, and you operate under the principles of the kingdom of heaven. That's what ambassadors do. So what are we saying today? If our battle cry is restoration, and we cry it, we make banners to promote it, let's say, restore, 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 what does that actually mean to you? And when I started, I said, what does that mean to you individually? Do you need restoration of your health in your body? Do you need restoration of finances that have been stolen or lost or given up by you? Do you need restoration of relationships in your life? Do you need restoration of family members' relationships? Do they need restoration of their soul? What does that look like for you? What area in your life do you need restoration in? And then think of God's definition of restoration. He doesn't want to give it back to you what you lost or has been stolen. You know, when you restore a car, what is that saying? That's, you bring it back to its original condition, right? Or better. But that's what most, when you restore an antique, you bring it back to its original condition. My dad had a watch that was his dad's, and I believe it was his dad's before him, so it would have been his granddad's watch. And he showed it to me one time. I was young, I don't know, probably 12 years old. And he said, this was my dad's watch, and it was his dad's watch. And it was old. I mean, it had gotten some use, okay? It wasn't one of these things they put in a box and left it as an heirloom. It had gotten some use. The leather band was cracked and worn. The crystal had a crack running through it. The works didn't work, right? The hand, you could see the hand was one of the biggest hand. The minute hand was bent over, and but it was a nice watch. And so he wanted to get it restored. So he took it to a jeweler, and they did. They replaced the crystal. They restored that hand. It was straight. They put a new leather band on it. And it looked just like it had. It had restored it to the original condition. But God wants to make it even better. God restored health to me and what I went through and that brain bleed. But I'm telling you, he's made it even better. My memory, and my family will attest to this, my memory has gotten better. I'm telling you, my balance is better. And I know you could say, oh, that's all because, you know, it's all around your ear and that's where your balance center is. And, you know, this was putting pressure here on their memory center. No. That's God. I am a miracle. Amen. And God is restoring me back to better than before. Amen. My passion for the Word of God has increased and it is growing. My energy is it's just getting better. He wants to restore me back to even better than before. That is God's definition of restoration. Not back to the original condition, but better than before. Jesus came and died, shed His blood to restore you back into relationship with the Father. We take that for granted. We take that for granted. We do. We take it for granted. And in these birth pangs of the last days where we know what is coming. If you're born again, if you understand anything about the Scripture, we know a day is coming. We know the day is coming. We may not know the hour. We may not know the exact time, but I'm telling you, that doesn't matter.
Amen.
It shouldn't matter because we should be living every day as if tomorrow was the day.
Yes.
We should be in the ministry of reconciliation, restoring souls back into right relationship with God. It is wonderful, and I love having a place where we can come to and meet, and having a place where our children are safe and being taught the Word of God, and having a place where we have beautiful decorations, and having a place where we can sing, and we got microphones and equipment that amplifies that signal and makes it loud because I like it loud. That's wonderful. All this is wonderful. It's great. Don't get me wrong. Because individually, you are the what?
Church.
And when we come together, we are corporately the
church.
So this is all great. It's all wonderful. It is. But let us not forget the Great Commission. Let us not forget to share what God has done in your life. Your testimony. It helps you be an overcomer. I just want to encourage you in that. You have been restored back to God. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you believe that in your heart and you've confessed that out of your mouth, then you're born again. You are in right relationship with God. There's nothing more that you have to do in getting to God. But there's more that you have to do in this earth.
Yes.
In this earth. Amen.
Yes.
I like what Pastor Rob said, that the tithe is not going to keep you out of heaven. But I believe it'll keep you from your blessing, your financial blessing.
Yes.
And I say the tithe, your lack of tithing won't keep you out of it. But it'll keep you from a financial blessing.
Amen.
So if you don't share the gospel in any way, shape, or form in this earth, it's not going to keep you out of heaven. But I tell you what, it'll bless your socks off if you do. Not only that, it'll bless someone else.
Amen.
It'll restore their life back to God. Y'all receive that?
Amen.